We are reading text 11.
Satena pratilabhyaya. Naiskarmena vipaschita. Namakaivalyamataya. Nirvana sukha samvide.
Sattvaena, by pure devotional service. Pratilabhyaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is achieved by such devotional activities. Naishkarmyena, by transcendental activities. Vipaschita, by persons who are sufficiently learned. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Kaivalyanathaya, unto the master of the transcendental world. Nirvana, for one completely freed from material activities. Sukha, of happiness. Samvide, who is the bestower. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. In the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga. It reflects on the Sanskrit of sattva, which means both goodness and existence. It's like, it's the opposite of nirasti, nasti. Mean, sattva means it is. It's like positivism by something real. So by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of Bhakti Yoga, he is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness. Mm-hmm. Top grade ecological organic happiness. And is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him, says the elephant. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood only by devotional service. Bhaktya mama vijanati yavanyaschasmi tattvataha. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth, one must take to the activities of devotional service. These activities are called sattva or shuddha sattva. In the material world, activities of goodness, which are symptomatic of a pure brahmana, are appreciated. But the activities of devotional service are shuddha sattva. In other words, they are on the transcendental platform. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme. Devotional service is called naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activity will not endure. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam. Unless one performs activities with reference to Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities will not be helpful. In hopes of achieving naishkarmya, freedom from material action, many highly elevated sannyasis stopped their activities, yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But once one is engaged in the spiritual activities of bhakti yoga, one does not fall down. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore an attempt to engage everyone always in spiritual activity, by which one becomes transcendental to material actions. The spiritual activities of bhakti marga, shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam padasevanam, lead one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated here, sattvena pratilabhyaya naishkarmyena vipaschita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad 15 says, Bhaktirasya bhajanam tadi hamutro padi nairasyanaiva mushmi manasakalpanam etad eva chanaishkarmyam. This is the definition of naishkarmya. One acts in naishkarmya when he fully engages in Krishna conscious activities without material desires to enjoy, either here or in the upper planetary systems, in the present life or in a future life, iha amutra. Anya vilashita shunyam. When one is freed from all contamination and he acts in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, one is on the platform of naishkarma. By such transcendental devotional service, the Lord is served. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Satyena pratilabhya ya naishkarmyena vipaschita nama kaivalyanathaya nirvana sukasam vide. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him. In the first canto, there is a very famous series of verses which describe the full sequence of development from life in this material world all the way to meeting Krishna and becoming free. And this is chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. And there it says, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavatattva vijnanam mukta sangha syajayate. Thus established in the mood of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So, prasanna manasa. Prasanna manasa can mean clarified mind, but also one, Srila Prabhupada translates enlivened, but also it means happy mind. You can understand Krishna, the science of Krishna, with a happy mind. Hare Krishna. Very sorry. Very sorry. Excuse me. Yes, as one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada in Australia on a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada, isn't it that devotees suffer more because they realize all the misery of this material world? That's the first noble truth of Buddhism. Yeah? Existence is pain. Yes. It's a noble truth, the first noble truth. Prabhupada says, no. If a devotee is happy, if you're not happy, you're not a devotee. Oh my God, not only I suffer, I'm not even a devotee. So horrible, what to do? Hare Krishna. Huh? Aspiring. Okay, I'm an aspiring devotee. So here we have an elephant with his foot in the mouth of a crocodile. This foot is being chewed upon. And even worse, because the teeth have not met yet. So the crocodile is chewing and chewing for a long time. And a long time is such a pain also. Even small pain, if it is chronic, becomes very exhausting. So doesn't look like a very happy position for the elephant. Yes. But what does the elephant do? The elephant found a lotus, found a water flower there growing. There's a famous picture. Yeah, it takes his trunk, his nose, and he offers that flower to Krishna. And he is chanting these prayers. He has, you can see, very devotional nose. He can both speak and offer with his nose. Our noses are not that developed that we can offer flowers to Krishna. Karam Bodhi, his nose is called a hand, nose hand. He has an extra hand in the nose. So he is offering the flower to Krishna. And how do you see this story in general? Is it a happy story or is it an unhappy story? This elephant chanting these prayers, getting into crisis and being cursed in the previous life, and then having one being cursed, and what is the result of the curse? He is in heaven enjoying with beautiful, beautiful she-elephants. That's, by the way, a compliment that to a lady, you are walking like a baby elephant. Don't try it in the West, I guess. Another one is, you're like a cow. You're as wonderful as a cow. It was a usual insult in my childhood to a lady, I think, that you're like a cow. But in the Vedic culture or in India, it's a compliment. You're like a cow, means you're gentle. So he had wonderful she-elephants, and he was in the heavenly planets enjoying as a result of the curse. As a result of the curse. So is it good or is it bad? He was cursed, doesn't look good. He's in heaven, doesn't look bad. But he's an elephant, doesn't look good. And then he's attacked by the crocodile, and he's fighting. So what's your feeling? Is it a happy story or not a happy story?
Huh? Are you talking about the whole story?
The whole story. The whole, like, what's, when you hear Gajendra, what do you, how, what's, what the feeling?
You better think it's happy.
You better think it's happy. Yeah, you better think it's happy. You better think it's happy. But in general, do you have some impression when you hear Gajendra? Gajendra?
Gajendra Moksha.
Gajendra Moksha, usually, that's how it's called, yes. The story of liberation of Gajendra. And it's good, everything is good, yes. Yes. And if the end, happy end, there's a happy end. Yes, there's a happy end. There. A very good happy end. The crocodile is cut by the chakra. Elephant is met, is saved by Lord Hari and taken to the spiritual world to enjoy eternally. So, we need to know the full story. Sometimes some kind of a crocodile of material miseries captures our foot, literally or figuratively. Sometimes it's a shoulder, sometimes it's a knee, sometimes it's an eye, sometimes it's a vague feeling somewhere in the chest or somewhere of being stuck. And things seem black and horrible and hopeless. So, where to go, what to do? Is everything lost? As one author said that, I can't solve your problem. I can't solve your problem, but I can give you a better story for it. And then if you get a better story for your problem, it's no longer a problem. It's your heroic deed, like Heracle, who was doing one of his 9 heroic deeds right here in Ljubljana. Or was it nearby? Is it, you have the famous Ljubljana dragon on the flag of Ljubljana, yes? Who was conquered by Heracle, Heracles, whatever, yeah, however you call him. Hercules, yes. Depending, if you use the Roman, then Hercules. If you use the Greek, then it's Heracles.
This is where he conquered the dragon.
Yes, yes, yes. That snake you see on the bridge, it's a dragon.
Oh, that's not a very terrifying dragon.
Well, you don't want to scare the kids. Also, it's conquered already. It's after it is conquered. So it's not before. So, If you have to fight a dragon, it sounds like a horrible story. Or you have to clean the Aegean barns, whatever the were they horse stalls, were they one of his heroic deeds? Like so much dirt, it's impossible to clean. Probably even scarier than a dragon, I guess. So much dirt, impossible to clean. Another of his heroic deeds. Yeah. Basically, you know how he cleaned those horse stalls. He diverted the river. Yeah. Yeah, the river cleaned all the horse manure there. A lot of horse manure was cleaned. So, if you have a good end, then the story turns from a horrible, horrible nightmare into a heroic accomplishment. Before you have the proper end, before you have the proper resolution, it's horrible. But after, it becomes wonderful. It's something that you can casually mention over a lunch with friends. Oh yeah, once I was fighting with a dragon. Oh, once my foot was in the mouth of a crocodile. Oh yeah. Oh really? Oh no. Yes. Here. See the marks. Yeah. And then everybody's. And then what happened? Yes. And then I felt weak because the crocodile was drinking my blood, and I was weaker and weaker. And then what happened? And then I was dying. No. And you see, he's here, so he could not have died completely. And then what happened? Well, I'm finished. And then what happened? And then I've offered my defeat to Krishna. Can you offer a defeat to Krishna? Well, you have to offer something. So offer what you have. You better offer your victory, but if you cannot, like Arjuna, right? Yeah, of course, it's much better to offer your smiles and millions of heroic victories, like Arjuna, yeah, or Hanuman. But if you can't, offer your defeat, like Jatayu offered his defeat, yes? Offer your tears. Yesterday we had a big discussion. There was one elderly gentleman said that Maharaj was asked how to cry during japa, and you know what he said? He said, use onions. Ha ha ha. Everybody was very happy. Yeah, true. And then another said, but look, maybe it will work. Maybe Krishna will believe. There was a big, you know, brainstorm. Yeah, it's good to offer smiles, but offer tears. If you can't offer tears, offer something. So, he's dying, he's defeated, he's lost, he's gone, he's done. And what he does? He offers. He offers this to Krishna. He says, Krishna, I'm yours. I'm yours. You want me to die? Let me die, but let me die for you. You want me to win? Okay, let me win, but let me win for you. So, yad karosh, yad ashnasi, yad duhoshi dadasi, yad. Whatever you give, whatever you do, whatever you eat, offer everything to Krishna. That's Krishna's, in fact, main recommendation in the Bhagavad Gita. It's his main recommendation in the Bhagavad Gita. Until he says, okay, but if you can offer a flower, flower, water, fruit, then it's even better. With love. With love. Offer with love is better. But if you can't, offer whatever you do. Whatever you eat. You eat horrible, there's an expression, humble pie. You're eating a humble pie, you know, like you're trying, and the only result is humiliation. You've been trying to do something good, as the result is you are bad. You're trying to do something nice, and they say, you are such a rascal for what you have done. You're eating a humble pie. Offer your humble pie to Krishna, whatever, yes? So offer everything to Krishna. So this is the great story. So maybe we cannot solve your problem, but we can change your story, give you a better story for your problem. So that's the Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives you an excellent story to help you get the Not a happy end, but the happiest possible end. Here we have Nirvana Sukha Samvide. It's a very interesting word. So Nirvana you have heard. Nirvana, you know what's Nirvana. Did you hear about Nirvana before Krishna consciousness? I was very interested in Nirvana. That's why initially I came to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada philosophically convinced me that bhakti is the best Nirvana, is and higher than whatever impersonal or void Nirvana. But what? How do you understand Nirvana? Or voidism, but besides being void. Void of what?
Anxiety.
Void of anxiety. Usually they give two main translations. Some rascals, as Prabhupada calls them, rascal demons, say that Bhagavad Gita was composed only some century after Lord Buddha because it uses the word nirvana. As if Lord Buddha went to the American Department for Patents and patented the trademark word Nirvana TM, only used in Buddhist texts. It's not trademarked. There's no copyright on this word. It just means freedom in general and happiness. Usually two translations are there. One is Nirvana extinguishing the fire, Ungasiti Ogen, and the other one is to get out of the forest. We are lost in the forest. We are lost in the dark, dark forest. Have you ever been lost in the... Anybody was lost in the... Either in a jungle or concrete jungle or somewhere? It's my favorite way to pass my free time, getting lost in forests and then finding my way out. It's very happy when you find your way out. Even here in Rožnik, sometimes you go one little path, another little path, and then you try to figure out, where am I? And then you understand, oh, that's where I am. You feel very happy. You know, I should go there. So, we are lost in the forest, in a dark, dangerous jungle. And Krishna is Nirvana. Yeah, so when we get out, that's Nirvana. We find ourselves. We are found. And then this sukha, you know, sukha is happiness. So Krishna, so we want Nirvana sukha. The happiness of finding our way. The happiness of being found. And Krishna is Nirvana sukha samvide. So the translation here is that he bestows. It's a nice word, to bestow. I learned it only in Krishna consciousness. Before Krishna consciousness, I didn't know this word because it means not just to give, bestow, but to give solemnly or as a gift, like a birthday present with flowers and with a ribbon on top. You bestow. Yes? Something like this. You bestow. So Krishna bestows, yeah? With a smile. Very nicely and gently. So it's not that you just feel happy. He bestows, you know, this happiness. And but actually, samvide doesn't mean to bestow or to give. Samvide means samvide means knowledge or awareness or consciousness. So that's only the commentary that he gives you knowledge of. He gives you the perception, the awareness of Nirvana Sukha. He makes you feel the happiness of freedom in the spiritual world. He makes you conscious of that happiness of freedom in the spiritual world. So that's why Srila Prabhupada has full right to translate as he's translating here, bestowing. He's giving you the gift of seeing your happiness. So you may be the same place where you were. You may still have the same problem you had. But you perceive this happiness of spiritual freedom. Once I read a book where they examined different ways to deal with psychological suffering. So they were discussing firefighters. firefighters who sometimes go into the fire and they get burned, they lose, somebody dies sometimes, some of their friends die sometimes. And they have nowadays it's called PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder. Have you heard this? PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. 100 years ago it was called shell-shocked. The soldiers would come from war shell-shocked. Never understood what it means. But that means this psychological trauma that makes you react strangely. Actually, as I just came to Slovenia, it seemed to me that everybody is shell-shocked after the lockdown. That was my feeling. Because in Ukraine it was softer. Plus I was among devotees who didn't have any restrictions. Not many restrictions were there. So it's a big question how to help people going through some big crisis, how to help them not to keep bleeding from their psychological wound, how not to continue being crazy. You know, like a veteran coming from a war, sometimes he acts crazy. I mean, this is the most famous, what is this, Rambo, right? Vietnam veteran, and he can't stomach what he sees, and he's acting in some different ways that merit a whole movie. It's an old movie from the 80s, right? So they had a study for the firefighters. So the classic approach was to give them several weeks of psychotherapy. So they would talk to a psychotherapist, which is, it's okay, it's fine. And the other approach was to have them sit down spend 15 minutes writing a story and giving it a larger frame. So just to sit down and write a story and try to write down what meaning do they see in what happened. What is the meaning of that? And then they checked upon them after some months, and it turned out that people who got months and months of psychotherapy did not improve as much as those who spent 15 minutes writing a story, finding meaning in what happened to them. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this therapeutic story. What is the story of your life? Where are you going? What is the map? What is your destination? Why are you zigzagging? What's the point of zigzagging? Shouldn't go straight? Or do zigzags have some meaning too? When you go down, is it useless or is it useful when you go down? Can you give an example when going down is useful? When going down is useful? Down to? Very useful, thank you. And you go down to our bed. So useful. You're a new man in the morning. Yes. In the mountains, yeah. When you are moving to a mountain, going down is actually going forward. It looks like you're going down, but you're actually moving closer. Eventually, to come up to the pinnacle, to the summit. It seems you're going down, but actually it's part of getting up. If you don't go down, you will never get up, get to the top. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam does. He gives us, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna gives us this perfect story to see what's the proper story of our life. So we know what drama am I in? Is it a tragedy? Is it a comedy? What is it? what's my story? So here we see Gajendra is suffering, but he is offering the lotus flower to Krishna, and everything ends well, and in fact so well that for millions of years we are reading about him. In most famous prayers, his name is there. His name is there in a positive context. Even though he is an example of a not very exalted devotee, but he chants very exalted prayers, and the end is very good, and just remembering him makes you free from all bad luck. Just remembering him, remembering his bad luck, you become free from bad luck, according to several shastras. Both, also Srimad Bhagavatam here. You are becoming free from bad luck just by remembering his bad luck. So this is the incredible, incredible power of the proper devotional story, which is positive, sattvena. It's true, it's positive, can get to Krishna, vipashchita. So only, he says, only vipashchit, only expert, only someone who has expert knowledge can attain Krishna. So this expert knowledge is not knowing many Sanskrit words or, you know, no 100 arguments against Mayavad, or that's not the expertise you want. Your expertise is to know why you do bhakti and what are you doing, and who is Krishna. And again, that's not to have so many points numbered, but to have some devotional understanding that Srila Prabhupada puts in very simple words. In this verse we have Kaivalya Nathaya. It brings to mind another famous verse from a queen, also called Krishna Kaivalya Pataya. It's 1.8.27. A lot of things are similar. Namo kinchana vittaya nivrita gunavrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. King Kunti's verse. And there are such nice commentaries there. Who Krishna is. Krishna is the treasure of pure devotees, amyloid devotees, Prabhupada says, meaning that you have Krishna as your highest goal. He is Atmarama. He is not interested in those who are not devotees. Shanta. Ordinary meaning of Shanta is peaceful. But Vishnachakvarya Thakur translates, the one who always forgives his devotees, never disturbed, always peaceful. Kshema, yeah, forgiving. So Shanta, he translates, one who forgives. And Kaivalya Pataye, he who helps the devotee to come to the spiritual platform. So he's giving us all the help, he's giving us the map. Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the map. We need this sometimes to get lost, but then it helps us to become more serious about finding the story, finding the map, finding the destination. So Gajendra is the excellent example of acting properly and offering his defeat to Krishna. And in offering his defeat to Krishna, he wins. He wins forever. So let us offer all we have to Krishna, also all we don't have also to Krishna, and let's make our story meaningful by adding the happy end of Krishna consciousness and offering everything to Krishna for his pleasure. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gajendra, the elephant with a chewed up leg, Kijai.
Crocodile,
Kijai. Crocodile, hoo hoo. Kijai. Yeah, yeah. Both people, both guys cursed, and then such a nice story. And he got free even earlier than the elephant. As sometimes they say, because he approached the feet of a devotee. Krishna, don't do like him, of course. Don't chew on other devotees' limbs, man. Any comments, questions?
This story, the same, I think, encouraged us. Because Gajendra, before praying very much, And then in this situation he remembered this praying, and this is hope for us if we now praying more and more, and such a bad situation we have hope to remember.
Yes.
This
yes.
I the same.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's a very good point. It's an important point. Yes. So when Czestewu Stiski, is it correct, Slovenian? Yeah. How do you say this in English? When you are squeezed, right? When you are squeezed hard. When you are squeezed, when you find yourself squeezed very hard, become a juicy fruit. Yeah, this is the famous. Yeah, I think Mahatma says that when you squeeze, when you squeeze lemons, they give bitter or sour juice. When you squeeze oranges, they give sweet juice. So when you are squeezed, that's when we see what's inside. Are you bitter inside or sweet inside? So what's the proper juice? At any rate, so sometimes we feel when we are squeezed, we think, yeah, that's all, that's finished. What to do? I'm useless, I'm lost. Krishna left me. No. Krishna is right there, and you can pray to him. You can pray to him. And we are given so many prayers. There are so many prayers. Like here, so many prayers for help, for salvation. So we can ask Krishna for help. You can turn to Krishna. Krishna is there in the heart, right next to you, waiting. When will you stop? When will you stop choking on that bitter, horrible fruit? Yeah? Two birds eating, and we are choking. And say, oh, what is this? And Krishna says, turn here, turn here. I'm right here. Hey, I'm here, I'm here. No, why such a bitter fruit? Oh, what is this? Turn to me. So turn to Krishna. He's right next to us. So if you have pain, good. Means some energy. Negative, but energy. You have pain, that's energy. So use it to turn to Krishna, like Gajendra. Offering his... using this pain to turn to Krishna. Then the negative becomes positive. Of course, if we chant and if we have a little practice, then that's the illustration how it becomes so fruitful and is never lost. Thank you. Shradbushpravo?
Yeah, thank you. For the first time I heard from you that Srimad Bhagavatam story can be therapeutic.
Can be therapeutic.
Yeah.
So
in which way? I didn't catch that point. In which way can be? Do you understand question?
I understand the question. I don't understand why you ask it, because I think the whole lecture was about it.
Sorry. Yeah. I can. Listen basically, lecture again, whole lecture.
Yeah, basically what I said, that this is a bad story. It's a bad story. But because the end is good, and I've given the example from the material life, firefighters with the PTSD, they write the meaning of the story. Suffering is meaninglessness. It's meaningless. Yeah, but if you have the happy end, proper happy end, then the negative becomes positive, becomes therapeutic. So Bhagavatam gives us the biggest therapy because it shows us the end of all ends, the happiest of all happy ends, and the end of all ends by reconnecting us eternally to our loving master, friend, lover, or kid, Krishna, so that we can eternally be in our true position. So that's very therapeutic, if we let the therapy work on our heart. I think Shachinanda Maharaj likes to call it therapeutic hearing. It's a little German for it, because they say therapeutic. Therapeutic hearing. Yes. So, dear brothers and sisters in therapy, every morning we have 45 drops into the ear. Yeah, take your drops regularly. Bhagavatam drops into the ear, darshan drops into the eyes, japa drops where? Wherever you let. Krishna, yeah. Maybe just on the lips a little bit, but if you let, he can also go into the ear and deeper. That's therapy, which makes us healthy for eternity. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. One chakra.